This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ilario Pantano. He is a multiple-time veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, and now he's a candidate for the U.S. Congress in North Carolina's 7th Congressional District. He's running against incumbent Democrat Mike McIntyre in a race that many people are surprised to see as close as it is, given McIntyre's easy re-election in the last few cycles. And Mr. Pantano, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's an honor, and it's an honor to talk to fans of WorldNet Daily, because WorldNet Daily was so instrumental back in my early days in 2005 when I faced some challenges for my actions in the Marine Corps. WorldNet Daily was there for me from the beginning, and I am grateful not just to the staff at WorldNet Daily, but to all the listeners that have been wonderful and supportive after all these years.
Well, we appreciate those comments. Certainly, what overall got you into this race? I know there's a lot of issues that have a lot of people frustrated right now, but what put you in this race?
Well, I guess first and foremost, your listeners might recall, but I have a history of going to the sound of the guns. You know, I was 17 years old when I went to the Marine Corps the first time. I fought in the first Gulf War. I'd gotten out and worked on Wall Street and actually went and started my own business. And I witnessed the attacks of September 11th. And there was something very disturbing to me about the occasion of guys wielding box cutters, slitting the throats of unarmed stewardesses and piloting planes into our buildings, shouting Allah Akbar. And something about that triggered my need to get back into the Marine Corps and get back into the fight, because it was clear that our nation was at war. And in so doing, I was actually charged with murder for killing terrorists back in Fallujah in 2000, or in the outskirts of Fallujah in 2004. Your listeners remember, they remember my case. I give you all of that because I have a background in my life, Greg, as I said, of going towards the sound of the guns, of choosing service and sacrifice over the easy or the more lucrative personal choices that one could make, certainly that I could have made. I've always chosen to serve. And I've been home here watching what's unfolding in Washington. I live in North Carolina, in southeastern North Carolina. It's beautiful here. I'm in between Camp Lejeune and Fort Bragg. I have wonderful veterans. I have wonderful, God-loving, America-loving neighbors. This is a place that is just so steeped in all the things that are good about America. And when I see my country under attack, as I do, as I have, with the Pelosi agenda driving the bus, hijacking our country, killing industry, killing jobs, raising taxes and making it hard for businesses, big and small, to be effective and to compete in America, driving these jobs overseas, boy, this is the war. This is the most dangerous place in the world. Washington, D.C. has become the most dangerous place in the world. And what we need now is we need dedicated men and women, people who are interested in being civil servants, not politicians, going to Washington, doing the right things for the country, not lining their pockets and bringing back all the pork they can for their district. And if we can get men and women that'll do that, we're going to turn this country around. And the good news, Greg, is I think your listeners agree. They've been part of this revolution. The time is coming. The age of the civil servant has begun, and we are going to turn it around. I believe it. I believe it.
You talked about what the Pelosi-led House of Representatives and Congress has done. Where does Mike McIntyre fit into that? He likes to pride himself as a moderate to conservative Democrat. Why do you believe he needs to be fired?
Well, I would offer that Mike McIntyre might represent the worst kind of hypocrite, because, in fact, while he's sitting here, he talks like Jesse Helms, but when he goes to Washington, he votes with Nancy Pelosi 90% of the time, and that's according to the Washington Post. As you guys all know, that's not some conservative hate rag. That's the liberal rag. The Washington Post says that Mike McIntyre votes with Nancy Pelosi over 90% of the time. You know, his campaign likes to say, well, that's just procedural stuff. The reality is, it's those procedural votes that let her agenda get onto the floor to be voted on to begin with. The reality, folks, is that my opponent is a member of Nancy Pelosi's whip team. His job is to go out and get votes for her, and when he delivers a sufficient amount that her crazy radical agenda can pass, then he gets to go back to the speaker and say, Madam Speaker, I've done my bidding. May I get the pass now? And as what we have seen time after time, whether it was the pass that he got on health care or the pass that he got on cap and trade, after he delivers her the votes, he can save his skin. Now, in my view, that's a worse kind of hypocrite than somebody who is overtly out there being a liberal, fighting for their convictions and making the arguments and making the case. And at least liberals that are out there doing that, you know who they are, you know where they stand, and you can have the conversation on the record and on the facts. The problem with somebody who tries to pretend to be one thing and then do another, well, that's a problem for me. That's a problem for the folks in our district. That's why we're showing we're surging in the polls. That's why we've been successful, you know, with folks around the country reaching in to support us and help us out. And my website, PantanoForCongress.com, is a wonderful way and a wonderful tool for folks to be able to come in and participate and help us take our country back.
We're talking with Ilario Pantano. He's the Republican candidate for Congress in North Carolina's 7th Congressional District. You mentioned you spent some time building your own business before moving on to other things. Clearly the number one issue nationwide, and I would imagine as well in your district, is jobs and the economy. What are your bullet points for growing us out of this recession?
You know, very simply, the federal government is not our path to prosperity. It's the private sector. It's private sector jobs. It's making sure we have a lower corporate tax rate. We've got the second highest corporate tax rate in the world. It's making sure that these tax cuts, or I should say, the biggest tax increases in history, which are set to occur in the beginning of the year, it's making sure that that doesn't happen, because that penalizes the small business leaders. That penalizes the folks out there that actually start the businesses that give you and me and others the jobs that are out there. And so the reality is we've got to make sure that we keep our taxes low. The death tax penalizes small businesses, penalizes farmers, penalizes folks that have been taking capital and putting it back into the market. And it takes that capital and it gives it to the government so then they can go out and offer a $26 billion emergency bailout to supposedly save teachers' jobs. And in fact, they're lining union pockets and generating hundreds of millions of dollars in dues to make sure that the same Democrat politicians that signed the bill are the same ones that get reelected time after time. Greg, that's called vote buying. That ought to be illegal. It seems to me that it is. The reality is we just don't have anyone in a position to do any fighting over it. I'm looking to go fight about it.
What is your sense on what's going to decide this election in less than 3 weeks? Obviously, whoever gets the most votes. But in terms of those who might still be undecided, what are you asking them to consider?
Well, you know, certainly for the folks in our district, we've seen some tremendous momentum. I was actually at an early voting place today. Our early voting started in North Carolina, and folks were lining up in droves. It was so exciting. People are out. People are enthusiastic to take their country back. What I would offer to anyone in my district that might be on the fence, or to anyone out there nationwide that might be interested in supporting us at PantanoForCongress.com, I would tell you this. I have a track record in my life of serving you and protecting you before you've ever heard of me. I was 17 when I went in the Marines the first time. I was in my 30s when I went back again after seeing our country attacked. I then served as a deputy sheriff after I got out of the Marine Corps. I've written a book about my experiences. I've been a graduate fellow studying national security policy and intelligence. Not only do I have some preparation and some experience in global policy, I also have some experience in the private sector, having worked at Goldman Sachs and the Premier Investment Bank. But I also made a choice to leave that world and leave a culture that I didn't appreciate to go on to start my own small business. You know, Greg, I sold a 68 Chevelle to buy conference room furniture. Do you know what I mean? That's called sacrifice. That's called doing the hard things it takes to get a business off the ground. I know what it takes. I know the government isn't the path. My opponent doesn't. My opponent is a big spending, big taxing, big appropriator. I need your help. I need all your listeners' help at PantanoForCongress.com to turn the country around.
Ilario, unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much for taking time out of your campaign to be with us. Stay safe on the trail over the next few weeks.
Greg, a real honor. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Ilario Pantano, Marine Corps veteran and now Republican candidate for Congress in North Carolina's 7th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.